Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very engaging and important episode of the Bench Club FC podcast. We are actually recording on the cusp of one of the most controversial World Cups in history. I am your host and captain of the Banter Club FC, the sauciest team in the game, the spiciest take in the pitch. My name is Neil. We also have in the pub with us today, we have Amma, we have John, we have Rossler, we have Joseph. Unfortunately, Adam and Jesse could not join us this week. We wish them well. As of recording, we are in the middle of the holiday season, as it were. Just had Halloween, getting ready to have Thanksgiving. And in the middle of that, we have a World Cup that we're going to be dealing with, at least on TV. And the reason we're having the World Cup during the holiday season in everywhere but the host country is because it just happens to be summer in the host country. So therefore, the host country is Qatar. We haven't figured it out yet. There's been a number of promotional videos, at least in America, about Santa Claus being upset about the fact that the World Cup is upending his plans, as it were. And they've been obviously heavily skewed to America, as if to say that America has a snowball's chance in hell of going to the final of the World Cup. And as we know from previous years, that is really only reserved for the women. That's not in recent history, that hasn't really been up to the men, unfortunately. They haven't been playing up to stuff. Now, on the flip side, this is the first time, speaking of the U.S. squad that was announced, this is the strongest side that I think the U.S. has had going into the World Cup, maybe save for some few snubs, and we'll get into that. But getting right into it, we have a number of most of the countries have submitted their announcements for who they are taking to the World Cup. And obviously there are provisional names as well that aren't necessarily snubbed, but in the event that players can't make it right up until the World Cup starts, they get the chance to play instead if there's injuries or illness or whatever else. And as we've seen, I think it's apparent because the World Cup happened to be happening in the middle of this football season. As a result, there have been a slew of injuries that have taken key players out of the World Cup this year. Some players, I think, have gone down, and while they are upset, they won't have the opportunity to play because they're not getting called up. I think there are some that are relieved, considering some of the reports that we have coming out of, we already know Qatari politics. We'll get into that. We already know how, you know, both FIFA and the Qatari government have pretty much already stated some pretty strict restrictions on alcohol. Obviously, being a Muslim country, there are strict rules against any kind of paraphernalia relating to the LGBT community at all. But, you know, we will see what's going to happen as far as this is concerned. I really am curious to the denizens of the pub. I really just want to take a temperature check on how we are feeling going into this World Cup. I mean, I know I've talked for a little bit about it, but I'm curious how John, you feel, Ama, you feel, Rossler, you feel, Joseph, you feel about this upcoming World Cup. Before we get into like who got selected and who didn't get selected, how do we feel as the Banter Pub brand, as the Banter Pub, as the Banter Pub podcast about where this, about, you know, like, you know, not just who, not who got selected, but also, but really like, how are we feeling about this up smack dab in the middle of the season? Rossler?
Conflicted. Yeah. Because as a, I still can claim this for a little while longer, but as a newer fan, I'm excited to see all these countries duke it out and see players from different teams get together and building chemistry and seeing some of the teams that have been announced, how stacked they are is exciting as a fan. But as right. we know, since it's been announced, since it's been announced in Qatar, it's been issues. There are human rights issues and a lot of foolery has been happening and it hasn't even started yet. So sum it all up, conflicted for sure.
Indeed, indeed. John?
Yeah, I mean, I'm conflicted too, and I think it's fucked up how we just thinking about the pandemic and how players have been, and all across all sports, but in the context of soccer, have been forced to just play nonstop for maybe for 2-3 years plus. And then in the context of this World Cup, which, you know, we already know it was very dubious because FIFA was just very corrupted to begin with. And they knew that this would cut into the season because the summers are too hot. And so, and then the players don't get a break. So I'm really worried about just the level of exhaustion the players have already endured, and they really have no break time to, you know, recover. And then in the context of the Premier League, which, you know, is the most popular in Europe, from looking at it from the US standpoint, they go to back to the players. The Premier League starts again on Boxing Day, which is right after the final. So in the event that England goes to the final, which I don't think they will, they have an even shorter time span to rest and be ready to play. I'm assuming that they'll be pushed out there after New Year's Day, English players that, English players or any Premier League based player that makes it to the final. So, you know, it's a money grab. We all know that. And it's, you know, what are we going to do? Like, we can't do anything at this point. At this point, we're just going to go watch it. But, you know, it brings up a lot of questions. Similar to what some of the pundits on, in this case, with Thierry Henry and Jimmy Carragher, Michael Richards, and Kate Abdo were saying, it's like, they don't care about the players. This is a really just a money grab. And so, you know, it's sad to see it in this context, but, you know, nothing we could do at this point.
Joseph, Ama, your temperature check early on as we preview the World Cup. Ama, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys have already stated the obvious, right? It was a dubious selection of the host nation and then the timetable. And then I think it may have felt those things, you know, and like the construction of the stadiums, the nature of the labor, this one was always going to be different, right? And I think it's notwithstanding that we just had the last one in Russia as well. It just feels like FIFA just gave up on pretending that they're anything but like a self-enrichment scheme. And, you know, the idea that these folks are the stewards of the game is pretty much laughable. I think we're all reminded that you know, we enjoy this sport because of the players that actually execute on the field day in and day out, right? Like, we're privileged to watch. And unfortunately, they've been bearing the brunt of these, you know, contracted season in order to, you know, fix your congestion to, you know, get games in, you know, post lockdown. And then, you know, this topsy turvy, like the minuscule summer break in 21. And here we are, 22, the first summer preseason. And of course, you can't just chill after 2 or 3 weeks, you're back at it because you have to go on international tour and do all these preseason matches. And so ultimately, I feel like we're going to continue to watch the spectacle. So in some kind of way, we're going to follow it. Even if I don't watch the matches live, I have the spectacle that we're addicted to. You know, I fell in love with this event in 86. You know what I mean? Like, I have been addicted to this competition most of my life, and I find it very difficult to give it up, even though that feels like the right thing to do. Since I don't control the money, I don't control, like, there's very little that I contribute to this whole enterprise. But I'm a fiend, just like, you know, most of these folks out here. So I will be following it. It's easier to remove myself a little bit, or at least put up some barriers, some boundaries, because the Super Eagles were shamefully eliminated from qualification by an away goal scored by Ghana in Nigeria. So, you know, it's a little easier for me to step back, but like, I don't even know that conflicted is a strong enough word. Like, I definitely feel very strong negative. I have a strongly negative opinion of, you know, the decision to host it there. But I don't have this, you know, it's more about like the corruption of FIFA and the abuse of workers in Qatar than it is about, like, you know, this thing that, like, these countries don't deserve to host. Like, I think Sepp Blatter said something to the effect that Qatar was too small, something crazy like that. No, this is the world. The World Cup is the greatest stage for the world's game. There are problems with hosting the World Cup, but I feel very strongly that, you know, the past, present behavior, the abuses in Qatar, are you going to tell me that they're less, or like the history of Qatar or Qatar is more egregious than that of the United States, who will be hosting it again? Or, you know, we're digging up Native American children in Canada. We're going to be hosting it. Like, I'm sorry, there's no moral high ground anywhere in the Western world. And, you know, we've enabled the corruption that FIFA benefits from. It's no mistake that they were perp walking these dudes based on lawsuits filed in the United States. So I guess I say this all to say, I have strong negative feelings. But it's not because, you know, some weird Western superiority complex about, you know, having a moral high ground. It's more that, you know, players' health is being denied. The FIFA as an organization has been, continues to be corrupt in spite of all these revelations and the host nation's record of abuse. Like, without the World Cup, some of this would happen, but the scale has happened, you know, was just immense because of the World Cup. And so that's where my negative feelings come from, and ultimately why I won't be as excited as I have been, but I'll definitely watch the knockouts rounds for sure.
Finally, Joseph, any early thoughts before we get into the nitty-gritty that is the preview of the World Cup?
I don't know. You know, I think to myself, when is it that my love for the World Cup started to wane? It was 2018, after the way that Russia got the bid, because I felt like England should have gotten the bid. That leading up to that, I felt like there was a lot of corruption when that was involved. If we're talking about countries that hosted with a horrible LGBTQIA record, Russia is it. And that was kind of swept under the rug at the time. The racism, obviously, that happened in the Russian Premier League, that is something that is also was swept to one side. I just feel like this is just a repeat of that. And it was, as somebody observed earlier, FIFA's not pretending anymore. The mask is completely all the way off. What a future. I don't see the spectacle as magical as it once was. Certainly, I mean, it goes beyond Russia. Actually, I think Russia was the one that left a bad taste in my mouth, but and that one really put me off when they won that bid, but. The World Cup in Brazil and the way that the Brazilian government completely and totally like gutted the financial budget just to basically host that and the Olympics was scandalous in and of its own right. And I remember writing something for Media Diversified at the time regarding that. And it still just kind of shows how it's been masked off for a long, long time now. So now we get here to Qatar or Qatar, and we already know the deal. We already know the human rights abuses. We already know the fact that this cup was literally built on the backbreaking and fatal labor of so many Nepalese workers, and from other regions of the country as well. Jonathan can speak to that. I personally was all the way switched off from there, but it's upon us now. Will I be watching the matches with interest? I can't say that I will. I also don't like the fact that it's smack dab in the middle of a domestic campaign. I don't understand why we're doing this. You know what I mean? I cannot understand why we're doing this. It's just what makes the spectacle what it is, and a part of it is where you host it, yes. But at least two times on the trot now, they've hosted in countries with questionable human rights records, and now we got this. So I don't know. My heart's not into it like it used to. But I will be, there is one match that has got my interest, and only because I have a bold prediction for it, and we'll get to that later. But I will be watching the US men's national team versus England with interest. That, I think, has the potential to be a very, very good match. And I don't think England's going to win. And we'll get into the reasons why later when we talk about the provisional teams.
Yeah. Yeah. We certainly will. And that's a great, fantastic segue, Joseph, to usually around the pitches, going around the leagues and talking about where teams are and, you know, the domestic campaign, as Joseph was talking about. But because this is the World Cup preview episode, as we gear up for this weird and odd, as everyone just described, I think everyone has a bad taste in their mouth as far as this World Cup is concerned. And we will see how that plays out with viewership going forward. But putting that to the side for a second, only to say, let's get right into around the pitch and let's start talking about, and let's put it plainly, of the countries that have announced their squads so far, who are some of your biggest snubs from particular countries? I know what some of mine are, right? Obviously, Ricardo Pepe is probably one of the biggest snubs, I think, from the U.S. men's team. I think he, before the summer, I wouldn't have selected him. But he's the reason the U.S. men's national team are actually in the World Cup, because it was his goal that qualified them. So, not saying that that's a reason you put him in the squad, but what I am saying is, he is a worthwhile. Even if it's coming off the bench, I think he's a quality talent. There are obviously snubs for injury. I don't necessarily consider snubs that are injuries. I look at countries like Portugal, and Renato Sanchez wasn't selected, which is a big blow to Portugal's midfield. And that's, the engine room is where a lot of the action happens, right? And I know, John, you're going to come in here and call him by the name you've dubbed him as, but...
Yeah, I already know.
I think Renato is a tremendous snub for Portugal. I think two snubs from Brazil, and we've talked about it on the disc, and if you're in our Discord, you've seen the discourse about it. Matheus Cunha from Atletico Madrid, and Roberto Firmino from Liverpool. Shocked that neither of them are in the squad. Now, granted, Brazil has one of the strongest sides ever. I think this could be, I don't want to compare it to any previous Brazil sides, because there have been some Brazil sides in previous World Cups that are leaps and bounds better than any other country historically, right? I don't want to do that historical matchup stuff, because we haven't even seen a majority of these players play together at an international level. What I will say is that Firmino and Matheus Cunha not being selected by Brazil was a little shocking to me. How does the rest of the pub feel from a snubbed player standpoint? Who were the biggest snubs that y'all have been, of the clubs that have made their World Cup selections? Because obviously every country has not. The running joke is that Ghana will be the last country to make their World Cup post their World Cup selections. Considering that they were one of the last countries to get into the World Cup, I think that's kind of hilarious as well. But that notwithstanding, how does everybody feel about these snubs? Who should be on their World Cup side playing for their country that isn't? Not because of injury, but just who got snubbed that should be there?
So Zach Steffen didn't make the squad.
Well, he's injured, but go ahead.
Well, Jordan Pefok didn't make the squad. The U.S. squad. I think Gabriel, Arsenal's Gabriel, deserved a shout. And the fact that he didn't get called up for the last qualifiers, not qualifiers, the last friendlies, was kind of a bad sign. And I don't feel like I think defense is the weakest area of the Brazil roster. And I think, that the attacking talent, I feel like there was one defender slot that was taken up by a winger because they have just so many to pick from. It was impossible for Chichi to pick a squad that was truly balanced. And so that is what it is. But yeah, so Gabriel, Arsenal's Gabriel, is one for me.
So what you're saying is the Brazil side is going to show up playing a 3-5-3. Is that what you're saying?
Hey, I mean, I'm sure they would play like they would play with seven forwards if they could. Yeah, I mean, like they're that's how strong that squad is. Yeah, as far as attacking. yeah, I feel like they're Brazil's defense is the weakest spot right now, and I was surprised to see Dani Alves selected, but I'm low key happy for him, to be frank.
That is wild that there is no right back from Brazil that can challenge Dani Alves' spot. I'm happy he's there too, but that's just wild to me.
I mean, I think Tomori from AC Milan.
Well, that was gonna be mine. That was going to be my one. Taking Luke Shaw over Tomori is unserious business. I'm sorry.
Taking Harry Maguire over Chalobah.
That is just purely unserious business. Like, it's unserious business just the whole way through. Like, the goalkeepers, two out of three. I don't think Jordan Pickford has done enough to be there. You know what I'm saying? Nick Pope and Aaron Ramsdale definitely deserve to be there. I don't know who the third English keeper will be. It's not Dean Henderson. It can't be Dean Henderson. So, I mean, maybe Pickford is there purely on that merit.
Maybe Liverpool with him in goal.
I don't even know what to say to that. like what do you say to that?
Anything. Because they did kind of.
Yeah, he had one stellar performance this season. Congratulations to Jordan Pickford. But T-Rex Arms has got to do better than that. I'm sorry. Midfielders. Has Conor Gallagher really been that good? Like, be honest. Has Mason Mount really been that good?
No, absolutely not. The Mason selection shocked me, actually, because I was like, this is the same side who, during the Euros, selected fucking Declan Basmati Rice. And
who has been selected again.
Right, who has been selected again. This time is actually deserved. For the Euros, absolutely not. And, like, it's deserving this time for Declan, but Mason doesn't make any sense.
Has Calvin Phillips even played that much football to warrant a selection this time? Bro, like, the only midfielder that deserves to be here is Jude Bellingham. That's it. That is it. Jordan Henderson, the boy go, for Christ's sake.
He's a world player of the year.
You know what? If you don't stop your foolishness right now, bruv. Like, I mean, just like, nah, bruv. This is shocking. And then we're stacked in the forwards department, but of course we would be. I'm pleased for Callum Wilson. I'm pleased for Bukayo Saka. I'm pleased for... why is Jack Grealish here? These selections frustrate me. This is unserious business. But then
in the forwards, why was Callum selected over Ivan Toney? Ivan Toney has actually scored more goals this season than Callum Wilson. And not to mention that, but Callum Wilson was selected was because of his play in the most recent fixture, singular. Ivan Toney is literally converting penalty kicks, and for a side in the Three Lions that needs desperately needs, going back to the Euros, desperately needs players that can convert penalty kicks, Ivan Toney is right there. He's right the fuck there.
Now when you put it like that, I agree. But then I'm just like, well, ¿por qué no los dos? Because at the end of the day, Ivan Toney's also outscored James Maddison. He's outscored Phil Foden. He's outscored Raheem Sterling. He has outscored Marcus Rashford too. You should be here. You know what I mean? If we're going on that merit, he should be here. The only one he has not outscored, the only two, I think, probably will be Bukayo Saka, who has been playing lights out football for one and a half seasons solid. And then, of course, Lurch from the Adams family. So, you know, it's just a case of, I mean, again, it's unserious business on the England side. To Brazil now. Do I still think that they're the favorite? Yes, but the Gabriel snub is a snub. Arma is right. I don't understand why he's not selected. What does the man need to do to break into this side? Like, what more does he need to do to prove to anybody that he is ready for this? You know what I'm saying? I'm pleased for Rafinha, even though it's kind of dropped off. I'm pleased for Martinelli. Obviously, gold medalist, he had to be there. Because he won the gold medal of the Olympic side. Obviously, Gabby Jesus, I'm very pleased for him. Vinicius Jr., very pleased for him. You know what? Shout out to Fred. We gave him so much grief. You know what I'm saying?
Well-deserved.
Well-deserved call-up, actually. He has been Manchester United.
No, well-deserved grief.
Yes. But he also has been... He turns up big for Manchester United when... you least expect him to, and he's done that consistently. He deserves to be in the Brazil side. He does.
Conversations we had before, I feel like, Neil, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he was being used incorrectly at United.
Yes.
Compared to how he's used on the national team.
Yes. Well,
I mean, but that was because he was playing alongside Scott McTominay.
McFred, boy.
Yeah.
McFred.
Listen. you have not suffered as I have for my brother.
That's this ball of nightmares.
McFred, boy, listen, boy, I don't understand because, like, so, that was.
Elon better not tag Twitter because that's the only way Ola can get his feelings out about McFred.
Pretty much. But yeah, I think, you know, just kind of looking at a lot of these, squads, I mean, we can talk about. Were there any other names from snubs? Ross, I'm curious how you feel about Roberto Firmino not getting selected for Brazil, considering that he does play for your Liverpool and he has been playing in form recently. Do you care?
I'm going to save my comment till the next section.
Okay,
because it has to do with that.
Okay. Either him or Gabriel Jesus, and the streets have spoken.
Because. I don't know, man. I'll just say now, I don't think a lot of these boys should be called up right now because they look so bad. Like, I just keep looking at the English side and seeing Trent getting called up. It's kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, that man hasn't been playing no defense, bro. He's been pretty subpar this year.
He might be fourth choice right back.
We'll see.
All right. I mean, like,
he's playing like
you got four right backs, man.
Right?
Maybe
Kyle Walker should change his citizenship to Brazil before the World Cup.
He's been hurt. Is he going to play? Is he going to be back in time, John?
I think Kyle has a better.
He got called up, so he's about to be playing.
I don't want to go on a rant, but I really have a problem with the English team. Like, I think it looks really bad. There are some players here who justifiably should be on here, but like, come on, man. Somebody said before, Conor Gallagher, I don't remember how many games he's played for. How many games has he started for Chelsea or even had minutes? I think his minutes has been, pretty sparingly. I don't remember seeing him do anything on the pitch. Let me put it that way.
My thing is that there's no one. Who's going to take their place?
I don't know, man. I just keep looking at it.
I mean, if you think about it, Tammy Abraham didn't get selected. Tammy's a pretty big like forward midfielder that. What is his name? He plays for Liverpool now. Hudson-Odoi.
I hear that, Neil, but who are they going to kick out? Like, just looking at it optics wise,
kick out Declan Rice, kick out Calvin Phillips, kick out Mason Mount. I mean, there you go. Mason Mount hasn't done anything this has done barely anything this season. Yeah, Calvin Phillips, and you can attest to this, John, that Calvin Phillips has barely played in the minutes. Got signed to literally be the future center defensive midfielder for City, but right now only plays in cup matches. He doesn't, and I'm not talking about Champions League. I'm talking about cup matches.
He should still be at Leeds. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that out loud. He really should not have left Leeds United. Not only would they have been a stronger side with him, he would have gotten regular time. But I mean, at the end of the day, this man has not, he's barely touched a blade of grass for the Citizens. The only reason why they got him is to make sure nobody else did.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to do that.
But
that's where you get the money to do it.
But just to land my point,
mm-hmm.
You can put Hudson-Odoi and Tammy Abraham and play them as kind of attacking midfielders instead of Mason Mount and instead of Declan Rice and instead of even Calvin Phillips. Yes, if you need a holding midfielder that bad, yes, I would certainly having a healthy would be good. But we don't know that Calvin Phillips is completely healthy. That's the problem with this World Cup during the middle of the domestic season, is a lot of players are falling down injured before the World Cup, or they're coming into the World Cup and they're getting called up with injuries that they're trying to get rid of, you know, as the World Cup gets started. But let's move on and talk about what teams are we looking forward to watching. I mean, for me, I got to say, for me, obviously Brazil, all that attacking power. I'm looking forward to Croatia. I think they're a sleeper this year. I'm looking forward to Switzerland as well. France, obviously, for a number of reasons, and specifically players. I'm looking forward to seeing how some of the players from Ligue 1 who really got called up as a result of there not being enough depth. Because Pogba and Kante are not going to be in the World Cup this year, so Ligue 1 got a lot of players called up this year. Looking forward to Germany as well. Cameroon and England are going to be exciting. El Tre, Mexico should be able to do some damage. They did some damage in the last World Cup, so I think they'll have a long way to go. Spain, if you take a look at their squad, they're except for their keepers. I think the weakest point in Spain is because Kepa for some reason got a call. I don't understand why Kepa got called up. But I'm curious, from everybody's standpoint, how does everybody feel about countries is everybody going to be watching as the World Cup kicks off?
Definitely going to watch France implode.
I was going to say the same thing in England too, in the USA. I'm watching for carnages. I'm watching for
I'm literally here for the mess and nothing else. Do you know what I mean? Like, this tournament does not deserve to succeed. It doesn't. I want to see the teams crumble. You know what I'm saying? I want bare drama. I want red cards. I want broken legs. I want bad juju, hexes and, you know, them type of thing there, like Pogba did to Mbappe, you know what I'm saying? I want, you realize that this Pogba Mbappe stuff is worse than, actually, no, it's not worse. It's funnier. It's funnier than what Karim Benzema did to what's his chops with the whole blackmail stuff. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Every single time a major tournament comes around, the French are on some nonsense, bro. These men are ruthless, cuz. I'm here for that. And when England and United States play, I think I can finally say it. I think the United States men's national team are going to pull off a win against England. And England will fall into complete and total collapse.
I don't know what Erykah Badu gave you, Joseph, but There's no way.
I see it happening. Wow. And yes. When I saw, no, hear me out, okay? I see it happening, and we know why. What did we just go over? One of the biggest defensive snubs of any side in the World Cup, in Tamari not being called up. They went with everybody's favorite BBW, Luke Shaw, yeah? Before they called up somebody who literally just won the Scudetto. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, he was unplayable last season. Chelsea are fucking kicking themselves in the nuts because they loaned him and then they sold him. They could have kept him. Once again, Thomas Tuchel for you. Once again, like, poor decisions, and it's kind of left Chelsea in the lurch. The whole war with Ukraine as a backdrop, and then the sanctions against Abramovich notwithstanding. I just feel like that defense, Harry Maguire's not going to know what to do with players like friggin' what's his chops? Tim Weah? What? Gonna turn him inside out, bruv. That's it. And that's the only thing that is holding them back from beating England by a resounding scoreline, Greg Berhalter. Like, you've got two very incompetent managers. It's going to be a shit show, and I cannot.
I would agree with you, but then when you look at the U.S. team, they're going to be depending on Pulisic and Aaronson, fam. I don't know. I don't see them beating England as much as I shitted on them a few minutes ago.
So, like, Pulisic probably not even going to start that match.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't deserve to. He doesn't deserve to either.
I will say this. I like this current U.S. squad. I will say this. I like the players in the national team setup. They have more about them than I've seen on any U.S. side in recent history, or in fact, in history, as far as I'm concerned. And it's not by chance, because this is also the most racially diverse group that we've seen. And so, like, I'm thinking, if they actually get a decent coach eventually. Like, we're seeing a shift, right? And I hope they do well. I actually hope they beat England, because, like, it's never coming home.
No, it's not, and it doesn't deserve. It doesn't deserve to. I want
England to fail.
Yes, me too.
Catastrophically,
you've done already.
At the hands of their white players.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, because we already see what they do when the black players miss penalties. So,
which is probably the reason why Jadon Sancho didn't get called up, which again surprises me. He should be there.
That's wild.
That's wild that you're going with Calvin Bloody Phillips over Jadon Sancho. Like, Mason Mount over Jadon Sancho? It's unserious business all the way through, bro. Like, what are we dealing with? Like, unbelievable.
I rate Mason Mount a little bit, but, like, he's not in form.
No.
And, like, are you really going to take him to the World Cup to, like, help him recapture his form? Like, that's disrespectful to all the players that are out there who have been grinding it out. Like, I agree also with I didn't co-sign it earlier, but, like, the Ivan Toney snub, it's like, it's kind of crazy. Callum Wilson just returned from injury. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
which he'll probably be returning to shortly.
don't hex that man.
I'm not hexing him, but he left at halftime at the last game.
Why you do the man like that?
Do you am hex I lying? This
Somebody
man?
Tell me I'm lying, though.
You're not lying, but you're not right hex
at all.
I'm just saying it out loud. He's a hell of a player when he plays.
Man, that's a hex, bro. I don't understand what you're talking about right now. Listen.
Well, at least, like, Dominic Calvert-Lewin's not on the squad.
At least
right
Dominic
now,
isn't
like,
there, right? Because then
you know what I mean? Like, so. I guess my point is the England squad is. It feels haphazard, thrown together, and, you know, without, like, I actually don't know how they're going to play, given the squad they've thrown out, literally one left back, and it's Luke Shaw. Granted, England is not very deep in that position, but this is one of those times where in the national team setup, like England has the deepest football pyramid in the globe. Like, fam, there's a left back of English heritage one way or another that you can call up besides Luke Shaw.
Yes, go, bro. It just, I can't get over it. It's so bad.
Currently, there is a. I mean, he's aging. He's older. He's 31 years old. But there is a strong forward and defensive right back that is English that is currently playing in Scotland, and unfortunately, he plays for Rangers.
Yeah, that's another one as well.
That man has no English caps, and I just don't fucking understand. Like, I don't understand it. That man has been sitting there grinding his career out at Rangers. And I know fucking the manager of the Three Lions has been to, at least been to one or two Old Firm derbies because it's the Old Firm derby. So you've seen him play. So what do you mean you don't, like, what? So anyway.
The other team that I'm looking forward to playing, sans one player who shall remain nameless because, as Arma mentioned earlier, there's still an open investigation, and quite frankly, he doesn't deserve any shine whatsoever. Now, Ghana, I hope, does well. I think, as far as, the African representatives are concerned, it's Andre Ayew's last World Cup. I want to see how deep these boys can go. You know what I mean? Jordan Ayew is going to be playing with his brother at the World Cup. I mean, real tears. I think that's beautiful. I remember playing football with a couple of my brothers and wondering if we could all and dreaming about the same thing. And these boys are living it. I can't take anything away from the Ayew brothers. I think this is a glorious moment. And if they have a deep cup run, never mind winning the thing, which I think is an outside chance of happening. But anything can happen in the World Cup, as we all know. So, Ghana.
First you said England was going to lose. Now you're saying Ghana is going to win the World Cup?
You see what's going on outside? Anything can happen, Jonathan. Literally anything. Like, I don't know. Did anybody getting a bit off topic here, but did anybody else watch the MLS Cup final? Nobody saw that classic going down. That was incredible. We've seen bare surprising results this year. Why is the World Cup impervious to that? It's not. It ain't. Maybe Belgium might win it.
Nah, fam. Hold on. Let's discuss Belgium real fast. Let's discuss Belgium real fast because these men brought Toby out of our world.
Okay, so that is unserious business. Yes, that is unserious business, bro. That is absolutely unserious business. I will not argue that at all, okay? Like, they're hoping to get carried by Kevin De Bruyne on this one, because, like, this one's... Whew. But anyway, look, if his vision is clicking and did Romelu get caught? Did he get caught?
Of course.
Okay, good. So yeah, if they're clicking, then I like their chances.
I mean, if we're really talking about Belgium is actually one of the quiet stat, like,
dark horses, for sure. They are.
So everybody remembers the last, whatever, 3-4 World Cups.
Mm.
Belgium. Everybody watch out for Belgium. Belgium's a sleeper. Oh, Belgium. No. Belgium shits the bed. Belgium is Spain and Portugal of the 90s.
Correct.
Yeah. Belgium has, you get no respect, fam. I'm sorry. Y'all been here. Y'all been on the stage. Y'all been number one. Y'all been primed to take it all. And you fumble the bag every single time. Well,
all I'm saying is,
you got De Bruyne, Lukaku, Tielemans, Axel Witsel.
Trossard was not in the Euros previously.
I'm saying, this generation of Belgian players has been around for 3 World Cups. Fumble in the bag
I don't have time for no, like, Belgium. Go out in the group stage. Like, out of here. I want you out of here.
Wow. I want you out of here, too. Only because of that.
This man has set the ting on. This man let the ting off, brother. Are you listening to this guy? Going, wow, talking, son.
I'm sick of these guys. Like, they should have won. They had opportunities, and they fumbled.
John, what are you about?
Like, they had talent out the wazoo, talent, and they fumbled.
John, what were you saying as an addendum for Belgium about why you want them out?
I mean, one for the colonial history, just De Bruyne. But also, yeah, because every tournament they're playing, the KDB always goes down injured because Roberto Martinez likes to run his players into the ground. So I hope they leave in the group stage as well.
I mean, look, I'm not saying that this is a scientific thing, but you know when certain managers used to have hair and then they start balding and then they have to let the ting go? You know what I'm saying? They tend to take that frustration out, yeah, on the players. And now, I'm not saying that there's like correlation and causation there, but Roberto Martinez, he did do that. When man had hair, he was like one of the coolest managers going at Wigan. And then all of a sudden, you know, you start to see a little, you know what I'm saying? You start to see a little bit, starts ebbing and flowing, a bit of erosion going on at the top of the crown. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, Everton happened. We all know how that went. As soon as his hair started to go, it's kind of like Samson from the Old Testament. As soon as his hair went, his power went. You know what I mean? So maybe he's just taking his frustration out on the lads then. This is alleged, so nobody come for me. But at the end of the day, I'm saying it's a little bit of a correlation there.
So what you're saying is those people who lose their hair, mm-hmm, are frustrated individuals.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they've lost all their greatness once they lose their hair. Mm.
Be careful, Joseph. Be careful. Be careful. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm looking crispy right now, bro. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, you see the locks. They ain't going nowhere.
I'm just saying, be careful about who you're doing. Because you made a general statement and then Rothler checked you on it, and now you're talking about me.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. I was saying in the example of Roberto Martinez.
Oh, Ross, okay. I got you.
Like, I not. I mean, if you already were rocking the Chrome Dome out here, that's fine. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, like, Roberto Martinez started to go on the downward slope at the same time his hairline started to recede to the back of his head. That's all I'm saying.
I guess it's no correlation. Saying a hit dog will holler, right? It shoe fits.
All right. And on that note,
anyway, I actually want to see Canada or Morocco advance. So that's also what I want to see. Belgium out of the group stage. But I'm if Sadio Mane is back, I'm excited to see.
Indeed. And going off that note, are there any that, obviously, I think we're all excited for Sadio Mane coming off that pretty shocking injury in the most recent Bayern match.
Yes. Pleased.
And with the possibility now he's going to be playing. So let's get into the next question. What players we've already, you know, this is a pro Sadio Mane podcast.
It is.
And brand. But outside of Sadio, are there any individual players that you were looking forward to? Maybe some players that aren't on people's radars. Maybe some players that are getting called up for the first time. I know I can name a few, but I'm curious about the rest of the denizens.
There aren't any Cameroonian players in particular that I'm really excited to see. But after what happened during AFCON, I am excited to see them play. Put it that way. Like, I think it's very exciting to see how they respond to the tragedy. I know Arma, you know, spoke eloquently about that on that one section of a previous episode. Hey, yes. Like I think this is a triumphant moment for them to be in the World Cup after that. You know what I mean? So big up the Cameroonian man then. I am looking forward to seeing how they get down in this tournament. I think they're gonna they might spring a few surprises, maybe. Maybe against Serbia, maybe against Switzerland, Brazil, I don't know. Might be too much there, but I am looking forward to that. And
go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And my other thing quickly about Sadio Mane, it would be like sweet justice if Senegal won the World Cup and he won the Golden Boot, wouldn't it? Like that would definitely put Liverpool on notice. And it will confirm that Jurgen Klopp is anti-African. That's it. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Liverpool been on notice all season, fam. Like, that man could retire from football, and the point had been made already. Like, he doesn't need to win a goddamn thing for his worth to be known. But as far as like individual players, you know, I'm hoping that Martinelli I'm hoping he doesn't start a whole bunch. I hope he gets a few minutes here and there. Get some experience, and wins a medal of some sort, and comes home healthy. It'll be great for his morale. Like he started the season really well, but we could remember when we saw him last season, he wasn't, you know, he didn't have a ton of confidence, and he wasn't up to his, wasn't playing up to his ability. So I want to see Martinelli in this Brazil setup, and they're playing, you know, seven forward players. That's one I'm looking for. As similarly, Takehiro Tomiyasu for Japan is showed his versatility in the league this season. And I'm curious to see how he plays with Japan. The Japan is bringing a bunch of old guys as well, so I'm very curious to see how they, you know, organize themselves and play this go round. We'll see how far they go. But those two players, I'm looking forward to watching. Oh, and Tim Weah. I want to see him on this stage as well. Yeah, basically, I want to see the young black boys get out there and flex a little bit for the world to see, but like come home healthy.
And speaking of that, I think I'd be remiss. Now Ghana hasn't officially named their squad yet, but I think obviously they're going to select Kudus, playing for Ajax right now, who's been in tremendous form for his club. And he was in form for his country, not just at AFCON, but also for the World Cup qualifiers. Kudus is a tremendous talent when he's healthy, and he's healthy right now. I'm looking forward to seeing him kind of break out in the World Cup. Similar to your thoughts about Martinelli, I think if he... Ghana doesn't necessarily have the greatest depth in the world, but from a midfield standpoint, I think if he gets enough minutes here and there, I think he has the opportunity to show his tremendous ability. I think if we're looking at, I think obviously another name would be Pepe from Spain, just to kind of see. Now that there's some depth around him, so he doesn't have to play all the time, every waking moment for his home country, and he has some talent around him. I'm curious to see how he does. Bruno Guimarães, who currently plays for Newcastle, first call up for him ever for Brazil. Curious to see how he plays on the world stage. Curious to see if he is able to unlock what he's done for Newcastle on the world stage. I'm trying to think who else. De Ketelaere, despite the fact that I am not an AC, anything but an AC Milan fan. He is a young player for Belgium, and I think despite how some of the denizens of the pub feel about Belgium, I think he has the possibility, not just in the group stage, but if they make it out of the group stage and make it into the knockout stage, he has the possibility of being a breakout player as well. I think Germany is another country where they have a few, what's the young brother's name? Well, there's two. Karim Adeyemi, obviously. I'm looking forward to him. Jamal Musiala as well. And then a very young talent that got a call up that I'm very excited about to see is Youssoufa Moukoko. I'm working better on my pronunciations because y'all used to rip me up to shreds on these. So I'm working.
Trying to be better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
remember when you
I'm honestly trying to forget. But anyway, yeah. I don't know how y'all feel if y'all are since y'all unmuted and tried to laugh at my pronunciations, even though I got them all correct.
This time.
Yes, this time. Thank you. Thank you for the, you know, the half-hearted pats on the back. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Wow.
They were half-hearted. Let's just be real. John Rossler, Joseph. Joseph, I know you said you had another. There is a Cameroonian player that you want to see.
There is. Yes, there is. I would be remiss if I didn't shout him out. Olivier Mbaizo. Listen, it's been an absolute pleasure watching you dominate at Subaru Park, mate. Oh my God, what a season the Union have had. And he has been integral to that. So seeing him get called up for the World Cup is an absolute joy. I really should see more fanfare from the MLS in general because, you know, at the end of the day, he's not the only MLS player that's been called up, but he's not a US men's national team player. So obviously he doesn't get the look, but he definitely deserves a shout out from me. So, Olivier, tear it up, mate. I hope that you have an absolutely splendid tournament. And we'll see you back for next season.
John Rossler, how about you? How about you guys?
I've got a ton of players that I'm excited to see. Obviously, I mentioned Sadio Mane, but Mitoma from Japan, who plays at Brighton, he's going to be a beast. He's a great player. He's going to be going to. He was going to shine in domestically, but he's going to stick out in Japan. I'm excited for to see Valverde at Uruguay. I think he's a beast too. Obviously, I'm happy to see Vincent Aboubakar holding down for Cameroon. I'm waiting for them to score.
God.
Yes, sir. I'm waiting for them to throw up a lot. And who else am I excited to see? You know, a soft spot for me, you know, is the Welsh pillow, Joe Allen of Wales. I just love the name, so I want to see. I'm glad Wales are in the World Cup. I'm excited to see them play. You know, Aaron Ramsey is back. I ain't seen him on the big stage in a minute, so I'm excited to see him. And yes, even though I do hate Belgium, I don't want them to go far. To your point, I agree with De Ketelaere. I think he's a beast too. He's really going to show out in the World Cup. So yeah, those are the people that come to mind off the top.
Rossler, how about you?
Surprisingly, nobody in particular. I just hope players come back healthy. Somebody I'm kind of disappointed that's probably not going to play. Heung-min Son is probably not going to make it. And not saying that career was going to get far, but he's just such a likable guy. Even if you hate Spurs, you can't hate Son. I hope he goes to another team.
No, I actually believe Hyungmin's going to be playing. Okay. I'm pretty sure he's going to be
good.
Yeah, his look, his prognosis is looking good. I was just about to step in and say that, Neil. But I will say this. Yes, Russell, you are right. Even though he is a dirty Spurs player, he is somebody that I actually quite like and rate. I think I saw Jurgen Klopp admit that Liverpool were in for him and didn't complete the transfer. And it says he's referred to it as one of the greatest mistakes of his life. So that kind of speaks
the to second. Not only the...
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously after Mane, but like, you know, and low, you know, that low ball fee, you know what I'm saying? But apart from that, I think Son is somebody that should be one to watch. I don't know if he can put the entire country on his back like that.
I wish he would so he can make John look bad, because I remember John saying that he was washed a few episodes ago.
He was looking washed though.
He was.
He was looking washed. We can't ignore that. I mean, wow. So, I mean, injury aside, John, God damn, Sam.
What do they say? Form is temporary, class is forever? Man, it's good, man.
Yeah. I think Son is definitely one of the shining players. Obviously, happy to see. Did Denmark release their list yet?
They did.
Yes.
Let me see if you know who is actually there.
Yes, he got selected. Are you talking about Eriksen?
Christian Eriksen. Yes,
yes, he got selected.
I mean, that's going to be a lovely moment, isn't it? Like, I think that's something that we can definitely get behind. Obviously, that scare that we had, and you know, in the Euros, and he's now back, you know, back with the national side. I'm sure that they've been boosted by his return as well. So I think that's something that is worth watching. It's just, I mean, we'll get into it in the main segment, but like there are players that I think, you know, people will be excited to hear about, at least if you're not watching it, that, you know, you want to know that they did well during the tournament, and then you know, go back and watch the highlights of it or something like that. But those are just a few of mine. You know what I mean? I think France looked great on paper, but I don't know about all this juju business. That poor Pogba's been dealing with. Like, it's still the funniest thing that I've ever heard in my life.
You got Rabiot as the most senior midfielder in this team. They ain't going nowhere.
It's just... Don't worry. His mom will set up the plays for them. It will be all right.
Bruh.
My God.
It's so savage, this episode. My God.
And speaking of savage, when we come back, we're actually going to switch it up. Because we covered and talked about already, because we already talked about in kind of the opening, and we did a temperature check of how everybody feels about Qatari hosting, we were going to do a deeper dive into that. And obviously, during the course of the World Cup, we will get into more about all of the issues really facing, you know, not just this happening in the middle of a domestic, during a domestic leagues, but also all of the issues, human rights issues that Qatar is dealing with and kind of has dealt with in a egregious way. Well, you know, we will continue to go over that and cover that during the course of this World Cup. But when we come back from our break, we're actually going to, because we've been hinting at it while we've been getting up to this World Cup anyway in previous episodes, if you've been listening, we've been talking about hot takes that are going to happen for the World Cup. So everyone is going to get their hot takes ready, and we'll have time to have as many hot takes as possible, and then we will close out the show. But before we get that, we are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we will have hot takes for you, because we are the spiciest team on the pitch. So we'll be right back. All right. So let's get right to it, y'all. You know, we're going to try to make this as quick as it certainly won't be painless. Because these takes are going to be hot.
Picante.
Starting with you, Joseph, what are some hot takes that you have for the, you know, for this World Cup? Who, you know, upsets, potential injuries, certain players or certain managers lighting their hair on fire to motivate the team. Hot takes. Let's have them.
Right. So, obviously, you don't know how I feel about the U.S. men's national team versus England. I think the U.S. men's national team will win. And it will be a scrappy, dramatic affair, but I do think that they will pull off a 2-1 victory against England. That is hot take number one. Picante take number two. Well, numero dos. I feel like Mexico will go beyond the round of 16. Usually they get through the group stage and they crash out in the first knockout round. I think they'll go beyond that this time. That, I think, it's a semi-hot take, to be fairly honest with you. But I do think that they will break that hoodoo, because they've been doing this since... They've been doing this, going through for the group stage. They'll pull off an amazing, miraculous group stage win against, you know, strong opposition, at least on paper, and then they'll crash out in the knockout round. It's really weird, but I think they'll get past it this time. Spain will not repeat as champions. That is my hot take number three. They will not repeat. I think Brazil will win, personally. They always do this. They come. They show up with a side that doesn't have too many defenders at all, and then they win the thing. I don't get it, but that's what they do. So, no defense, just vibes. We'll win the World Cup this year. And I think, out of all the African nations, Senegal will make the semi-final. That is my last hot take.
Interesting. John, hot takes. What you got?
I think Uruguay might be semi-finalist in this World Cup again. Let's see. I think Canada is going to be a lot better than folks might think. I think they're really going to show out. You know, potentially even making the round of 16. Who knows? I think Qatar are better than folks think. Even though they're the host and they're not really historically known for football in their region or just globally, I think they're going to be a lot better. They're going to have a really good showing. And yeah, I think that's those are my hot takes. My hot takes so far.
Ama, any hot takes on the front or back burner for us?
Well, I told you already, Belgium's going out in the group stage. And let's see, Ghana is not going to win a match. Let's see, what else is relatively hot? Canada is also going home early. Let's see. And African teams, it's going to be one of the North African, Tunisia or Morocco, that's actually going to progress the farthest. I think Mane's injury is serious, and even though, you know, he's going to show up, show out, it won't be enough to pull him through. They have a talented squad, but I think they're going to depend on him too much, or try to depend on him too much, and that'll be a mistake, like Brazil when they hosted, and, you know, being all wrapped in their heads about Neymar. I'm feeling that kind of energy. None of these are super hot takes, except maybe like both Belgium and Canada going home. But
And that's only because of Alphonso Davies. I'm not expecting as much as I would have if we were going to be healthy.
I thought you'd be shady about Gata, but I just
he was.
He said they're not going to. Was he said they're not going to win the match, bruv?
Hear me out. I'm almost absolutely probably right about that.
I think they will win. I think they'll win one of their matches. Their group is
different. Against whom?
Well, let me pull up the group in it.
Against
Portugal, Uruguay, South Korea. Is Ghana taking a point from any?
Maybe South Korea.
Maybe South Korea.
Nah. I'm rooting for Hyung Min Song.
That was serious.
Yo, the business. Can you feel it? Like, at the end of the... Can you feel it, though, bro? Like, Portugal are not known for keeping clean sheets in tournament play. Let's be fair here. I think Ghana can spring a surprise on them, too. They definitely got enough about them. Uruguay will be difficult, but as you said, their men are ancient, okay? They named almost virtually the exact same side that they brought to the last World Cup. Like, it's... I think Ghana can definitely do a job against Uruguay, and it will be vengeance! I want to see vengeance, bro. So, yeah. I'll be tuning into that one at least as well. So, Mike.
I wonder if when Ghana and Uruguay play, if any of the Uruguayan players are going to talk about, going to say Negrito while they're on the pitch.
It's definitely a term of endearment I hear. So I hope that there won't be, you know, any fighting or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we don't want any abuelas on the pitch saying, but I say it. But I say it. Rossler, do you have any hot takes for the World Cup?
As stacked as Brazil is, I feel like they're going to disappoint. Because of some of the reasons we talked about earlier, defense.
Okay. Now, when you say disappoint, do you mean not get out of the group stage? Do you mean not the knockout stage?
What
do
you mean? You've got to be specific.
If Brazil does not get out of the group stage, then...
Yeah, that's impossible. I think they will lose to Spain. They'll get out the group stage, but I think Spain will beat them. Yeah.
Any other hot takes, or is that it?
Just remember that. Richarlison is going to have a great haircut. And Alma's gonna become a fan, and he's gonna buy a jersey. I know Alma doesn't get jerseys with players on his back, but it's gonna be one of the first.
Wow, everybody!
Richarlison on the back.
Let's just relax a little bit. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, just
Rossler's living in Mount Vesuvius.
He really is, bro. Like,
what are you talking about, fam? That man is going to come out with no fade. He's going to go from 0 to 100 real quick.
Yeah,
he's in North London now. It's a different game up there.
Easy. I don't know if any of them man there can work miracles like you're talking about.
He doesn't want it. That's the thing. He doesn't even want it. He doesn't want a good haircut.
I mean, get one in his home country before they have to take the plane to Qatar. Like, that could happen.
No, he's going to get a haircut on the plane by the steward.
If it's left, exactly.
What?
Exactly.
And it's going to be clean.
He's going to have the baggage handler cut his hair. Like,
this man's going to have TSA line him up. But, yeah. Alma's going to become a fan. It's going to happen.
Eden Hazard is going to be a TikTok star this World Cup.
Oh, shit.
Seriously?
That's my hot take.
Seriously? That's what we're doing, bro?
I mean, am I wrong?
It's a wet challenge, right?
right. Okay. Yeah. That's different.
And has a Jamaican scored in the World Cup? Because I think if John Stones scores this year,
wow,
the episode's over. Episode's over. Let's go.
All right. So
we went from crazy hot takes to just plain foolishness and garbage.
So I'm going to give some of mine. I think Germany is going to surprise. They need to bounce back. I think depending on who Argentina select, Argentina is going to go deep. They won't win. Here's my hot take. Neither Messi nor Ronaldo are going to lift the World Cup trophy after this thing is said and done. And there will no longer be a Messi versus Ronaldo debate because neither of them have ever won a World Cup. And the debate will be done when neither of them have lifted it. Despite the fact that EA Sports has apparently done some sort of simulation that suggested that Portugal and Argentina were going to be playing in the World Cup final and Argentina was going to win. Like, first of all, that's just to sell a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. That's just as much of a pipe dream as believing that FIFA is a world-class organization that has no issues. Like,
wowzers.
Portugal may not make it out the group, fam. Right. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's real talk. That's real talk. Like,
that is crazy.
I think Croatia is going to surprise again. They kind of showed their teeth recently, not just in the last World Cup, but also in the Euros. They showed how deep they are. They showed how defensive they can be. They showed how they can kind of take a lead and hold on to it. I think Poland is actually going to be a surprise. Is going to be a surprise of the African countries. I'm going to surprise everyone because I have been against the paper bag boys of North Africa.
You know, let's shut the episode down right now, bro.
Why'd you say that?
You see the Egyptian Prime Minister wilding over there right now, cuz, and you want that kind of heat on the banter pub? I think not. We need to turn it to the banter bunker. What the fuck? No, bro, you're not doing that to me right now, cuz. No, you're not bringing that on my head top, bro. No way. No. I'm not dealing with that shit. No, there's no way, bro.
What I was gonna do and end it is say that I think Morocco of the African countries, I think that Morocco of the paper bag boy countries of Africa are going to go the furthest in the World Cup.
Wow. You just cannot help yourself, can you? Like, it's just like, just look to the denizens of North Africa. I hope that, you know, inshallah, that you don't do anything to the Banter Pub FC. We love you, though, for real. We do. But
I just ruining my North African plugs over there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Jonathan's got ends right there.
Stop it.
You know what I'm saying?
Stop it, Jonathan. If they see you in North Africa, they are running the other in any country in North Africa. They are saying, who is that and why is he in my country? Trust me. Listen, we don't pass the paper bag test for any of those countries. So there is no reason
to have any on my head, man. I can't have a diaspora on my head like that.
Damn.
They're not gonna be on your head because they don't see you as a person. So anyway, they don't see any of us as a person if we are darker than a paper bag, but y'all are making me belabor this point for no reason. I think that the Three Lions are going to get out of their group and then get immediately knocked out in the knockout stage. I think the U.S. will also get, I think that they will be 1 and 2 in the in the group and then move on to the knockout stage, and they will both be knocked out in the knockout stage. And yeah, I think that's it for me. Usually we take a break right here before we go to our extra time, but I think everyone has wanted this episode to end as quickly as possible. So on that note, thank you for listening to another episode of the Banter Pub FC, the sauciest team in the game, the spiciest takes on the pitch. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for as long as it's going to be up, because Elon Musk bought Twitter, if you haven't figured that out yet. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok, follow us on YouTube, follow us on Twitch. We are going to be posting a lot more content on other social media pages at certain social media networks go down into the doldrums of death. So in the meantime, please follow us on all the social media platforms that you can. Please like, subscribe for this episode, like and subscribe for all of our episodes. We are going to be releasing a ton more content. We have some episodes that are going to be coming out, some kind of backlog episodes, so look forward to that. And then also, don't forget to review us on all of our on your favorite podcasting platform that you're listening to, for Ama, for John, for Rossler, for Joseph, for Jesse, and also Adam. You are listening to the Banter Pub podcast, and we will see you next week.